Valone Show. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and you're listening to the fourth episode titled Partnerships. In this episode, I interview Eric Eaton, the founder of the nonprofit organization Knights of Heroes. Eric started up Knights of Heroes in Colorado to empower children who have lost their fathers during military service. They provide positive adult mentorship, character development, and lasting friendships through an annual wilderness adventure camp. They want to ensure that families with losses are not forgotten with the passage of time. I'm excited to welcome Eric to the show. Welcome, Eric. Please share more about you and your organization.
Great. Well, thanks, Mary. I'm glad to be here. So we started this organization they called Knights of Heroes about 10 years ago. And so a little bit of my background is I've spent many years in the business world as a consultant, business leadership development. And then I've also spent quite a bit of time in churches and other nonprofits. So I have a little bit of mix in the background of both the corporate and world. And it was about, it was almost 10 years ago exactly, a good friend of mine, Lieutenant Colonel Steve Harold, who's an F-16 pilot, retired, and myself were going through this study about how to be kind of better men. And so what does it look like to be better men? And then we together were having these conversations on the side about, well, how do we raise our boys to be better men, because we both have two boys. And so what does it look like in this day and age to raise, you know, two men who are God-fearing, who, you know, respect women, who are kind, you know, those type of characteristics. And it was in the middle of this conversations that we were having over a series of months that Major Troy Gilbert, his F-16 went down in Iraq when he was laying some ground cover for some special forces. And he left two boys behind. And so now all of a sudden the conversation became, so what do we do with these boys who don't get the opportunity to learn from their father, who don't get the ability to do the things that we're talking about? And so out of this conversation, we started a camp called Knights of Heroes, and it's for sons and daughters who've lost their fathers in military service. And so 10 years ago, on just a simple idea that Steve and I talked about in a coffee shop, we had our first camp in 2007, and we had 16 boys show up, and that was kind of all we could handle at the time. And I tell people, Steve and I, after the camp, talked and went like, that was a disaster. Those boys are never going to come back, because we had no idea what we were doing. We had no idea, like, you know, how to run a camp or what to do or how to do things. And then over the next couple of months, you know, the moms kept on calling us and telling us, you've got to do another camp. Like, this is the most impactful thing that's happened to my child since they lost their father. And so we were kind of shocked and surprised by that. But then we started doing them, you know, kept on going. We're able to add a girls program 5 years ago. And so this past year, we had about 90 boys and girls show up on our own property that we're able to purchase. And we're expanding to different camps and retreats and trying to kind of reach as many as we can with the ability that we have. And just it's been an amazing journey to see what's happened over the past 10 years with this organization.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Eric and I were just at a conference recently, and we got a chance to sit down next to each other. And as you were sharing about your organization, it really hit home because you have seen great success with your organization. And with the release of my book, Fundraising Freedom, I ultimately want organizations to see the freedom that it sounds like you guys have had with the impact that you're able to make through your organization. So I'm interested to find out what's your annual budget for your organization?
Well, we're in the middle of a building campaign right now. So it's we have that separated out, but our operating budget runs between like 150 and 200,000 a year, depending upon the number of kids that we have show up at the camp. It costs about $1,000 a kid to come to camp, and that includes their airfare, you know, room and board, everything. We make it completely cost-free to them. So depending upon the number of, you know, boys and girls we get that year, it runs about $1,000 a child.
Awesome. That's very cool, because most nonprofits about your size, I mean, that's pretty average to be somewhere between that $100,000 and $200,000 range for an annual goal. So you're definitely going to be speaking to a lot of people who are listening right now. So share with me just a little bit about your favorite donor to your cause, whether that's organization. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy one because we have there's a group that's called the Ride 430, and John Greenway is the one that kind of puts this on. And we got in touch a couple of years ago because one of the pilots in their group, one of our board members, most of our board members are pilots. We have a lot of ex-F-16 and Navy pilots in our organization, but they knew each other and we kind of got hooked up. And so there's this organization that every year they start out in Phoenix, Arizona, and a big group of them of Marines and Army and Air Force and all types of individuals ride bikes 430 miles to Diego to raise money for MARSOC, which is a Marine Special Operations group, and our group and a couple other groups. And they're one of our biggest donors, one of our biggest supporters. It's been a great relationship because they just want to help us, you know, move the needle of our organization. And they've kind of just come up alongside of us to say, hey, how can we help? We're going to raise money for you and do what we can to kind of get you going and get where you need to be so you don't have to spend as much time on the fundraising aspect of it and you can just kind of run your organization. So they by far have been, you know, the most unbelievable partnership that you could think of. And, you know, if you're running your nonprofit and trying to, you know, not spend all your time on fundraising, but being able to actually concentrate on running the organization the way you want to.
Awesome. Yeah. So how did you guys get introduced to them then?
It was just, you know, one of their, they'd been going on a couple of years trying to run and do this bike ride, you know, just kind of the brainchild of John Greenway. And, you know, one of the people that jumped on board with him had a mutual friend in our organization, and that's kind of how we got hooked up. You know, just word of mouth and friends of friends and people kind of connecting and connecting the dots.
Awesome. Yeah. It's always interesting when people ask like, well, how do you find this great, you know, partner to help fundraise for you? And it is so organic like this, that it's usually a friend of a friend, you share a need. And the next thing you know, you have this introduction to somebody that is just as passionate about your cause as you are. So how long have you guys been partnering together then?
So this is our fourth year. They just had their fourth, it was about their sixth ride, I believe, this past October. And it was our fourth year to team up with them.
Awesome. Oh, so good. Okay, cool. That's great. So I want you to share, kind of dig into the history about what the worst experience you've had asking for a financial gift from someone.
Well, and I'm sure much of your listeners can relate to this. I hate asking people for stuff. Absolutely hate it. I don't know what it is about me, you know, just the way I'm wired. But, you know, just going up and asking people for money is a hard thing. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. And so I've taken the opportunity in places where I've been with, you know, famous athletes, even, you know, some of the people from Duck Dynasty show, you know, I'll actually go up and just start talking to them and seeing if we can partner together. And every time, you know, I'm sure they're wondering what's wrong with me because I look like I'm, you know, sweating bullets and, you know, have some shenanigans going on behind me. But, you know, it's that constant, you know, just ask. And I've learned over the years, you know, even though I hate it, the things that matter most, and even though I'm in a situation where, you know, I'm doing something I don't want to do, I've learned that, you know, it's not asking for money, it's asking for a partnership.
Yeah.
You know, how can we partner together? Because, you know, they usually have something they want to do. And when I talk about our organization, it's usually something that resonates with people somewhere, somehow. I mean, they know people in the military, their family was in the military. There's some type of connection there, which makes it easier. And that's the irony of it. I tell people, even though I hate doing this, I'm sweating bullets and I feel like I'm asking them for their firstborn. They're always like, hey, yeah, sure. How can we help? And it's really just, my attitude and trying to get over it. But the two things I've learned, on that line is, one, by far the best thing you can do. And this is what we've seen with the Ride 430. Southwest Airlines is another huge sponsor because we have a lot of pilots that work there. It's just building the relationship. It's telling people about it. It's investing in them and building that relationship. A lot of what you talk about in your book, about that aspect of it, is huge. And then two is making sure you have a clear message. In the beginning, I struggled, to articulate kind of what we were doing in an effective way. But as much as you can kind of, like we talk about, get your elevator speech, get your tagline, how can you boil it down to its simplest form and articulate it clearly so you can just, and then you can explain it further. Those two things have been the biggest kind of change your mindset for me in order to have less and less uncomfortable or situations that are scary or frustrating when it comes to talking with donors.
Yeah. Well, and it's so true that it's like when you ask somebody for something that you feel like they don't want to give away, it is hard because you're it's an uncomfortable situation. But once you realize that it's like that they get to be a part of this thing that you are so passionate about as well, it just changes the energy in the room. Like it just, the whole thing becomes so much easier because you're just sharing what you're passionate about and what you love to do. So yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of people that can relate to that, that it's scary. It's overwhelming. Why I want to have these conversations, because I think that it's like if we can all overcome them and see the results and see lives change, then it becomes so much easier. And really, we're all human. We understand that we're all being asked for something, whether it's time, money, resources. It's happening regardless. So
yeah, and I think that's part of it. Is I know for myself, I kind of shut down when people ask me for something. But you hit the nail on the head when I see that someone's passionate about something. All of a sudden, those defenses come down, and I'm interested because of their passion that they have into that project. So, that's another good trait. If you're not coming into this situation or this request with passion, and it's not a passion of you, then that's a whole other conversation that probably needs to happen.
Yep, you got it. So besides having, great donors, obviously, to the organization, I'm sure your success has come because you have great volunteers. So could you share just a little bit about your top volunteer, the person who really is kind of the leader for your group?
Yeah. So, like I said, Steve Harold, who's retired, is, he's a good friend of mine. We've worked together in this camp for 10 years, known him for several years longer. And he's just, one of these tireless individuals who just puts his heart and soul in this organization. We are an entirely volunteer organization. We have a part-time admin. We pay, at our peaks, when we're getting ready for camp and sending out donor letters. But on that, we're an entirely volunteer organization. And so every year for camp, with about 90 kids, that's about 60 mentors and staff that we bring on every week that we do the camp. So we have a huge volunteer force that balances what we're trying to do at camp, because our first through third year campers, we have a one-on-one mentorship with them. So we bring in one male for every kid that's in their first through third year in the camp, so that they have that one-on-one mentorship and relationship. So we do have a very large volunteer organization, and that's just for the ones at camp. We also have a lot of moms who volunteer with fundraising, with donations, with the moms program that runs kind of parallel with our camp during the week, and they're the ones that are taking care of that and executing against it. Getting volunteers, and as everyone probably struggles with, getting really good volunteers is crucial, and it's one of the things that you can't shortcut. Those times that we've paid for it. But on the flip side of that, some of the greatest individuals I've met in my life have come through the mentorship of this organization. Just top quality individuals who themselves pour their heart and soul into this organization and to what we're trying to accomplish. And I can't say enough about the people that I work with in this organization, the people that I serve beside, and their, not only just their character and integrity, but what they give to our organization is unbelievable. And it's hard to put in words.
Yeah. And that is so true, that it's like when you serve together and you're making a difference in other people's lives. Yeah. You start to get to know each other at such a deeper level, and that relationship really, it goes so much deeper than just a volunteer relationship, you know, that you guys are passionate about the same cause. But are a lot of your, do you see that a lot of your volunteers are also donors to your organization? Do they tend to give as well?
We see a nice kind of cross section, because one, they're either they're good donors to our organization, or two, they're really out there kind of pounding the pavement trying to find those organizations that can partner with us. As I mentioned, we have quite a few Southwest Airlines pilots, and so they got Southwest involved, and so they're very heavily involved in donating tickets, and they just had a big golf tournament for us recently to help raise the money. People in the Navy and with the Naval Academy or other military academies that make phone calls to alumni and trying to see who's in what organizations or how others can help. So we see that probably more than anything, that instead of donating a couple $100, which they do, that they'll actually get on the phone or start sending out mail and trying to build those relationships to see if we can get some of the bigger fish, get some bigger donations out there that we wouldn't ordinarily get.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, and as those, volunteers come on, it seems like the more time they invest, the more they're willing to sacrifice and see when there's a need that needs to be met, that they'll step in. You tend to see that more and more with organizations. But just jumping into a few lightning round here.
Okay.
Share with us what resource you are currently using that makes the staff of your organization makes their jobs easier today.
Yeah, it's a, we're not really kind of high tech. So, we're still using like Excel spreadsheets and, using easy things like MailChimp or, just for our mass emails and trying to keep track of, all our mentors and making sure that we have their email addresses and we can communicate effectively is it's easy things like that can't be overlooked, and just being able to communicate with everyone and making sure you have all the information you need in order to communicate effectively. Because as we ramp up for camp, we have to, there's a lot of communications we have to send out to making sure everyone knows when to show up, where to show up, and what they should be doing once they get there.
Great. Well, and I don't want to undermine very minimal use of resources, because so many of our nonprofits are starting with nothing. And so free programs are always great. And, find the things that work, like MailChimp. Awesome. I mean, database programs, stuff that it's like, hey, this works for us right now. And as we grow, we can add more things into the mix. So that's great. But now share a piece of advice you've learned that has made the difference in your fundraising efforts.
Kind of like I said earlier, it's really, down to building the relationships. And you kind of touched on it earlier too, is when we're building those relationships and when we're kind of building the donors, I think getting them involved, is huge. You know, it's, you know, we're able to bring the mentors out, and once they see kind of what happens at camp, I mean, you know, that they're, and see what we're doing for these boys and girls. I mean, they're automatically changed. Their lives are changed. You know, we've had people that were just supposed to come out and film a portion of the camp, and, you know, they've ended up volunteering later or donating later just because they saw what happened. You know, so get them involved. And even with some of our donors, we'll have them fly out, you know, for an afternoon or just so they can see our closing ceremony or something. You know, because so it's not just giving, you know, they're seeing where their money is going. They're seeing the difference that it makes in individual kids and individual lives and how it's transforming them. And that's huge, and that cannot be underestimated by any stretch of the imagination, because it's I think we all want to give on a certain level, but we don't know where to give or how to give. And if you can kind of bridge that gap to show people how they can give, and then show how that money's making a difference and help them connect the dots, it's a huge journey for them that I think we all want to go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and because you have so many volunteers that are part of your organization, how do you thank your donors right now?
Yeah, so we obviously keep in touch with them. We send out thank you cards. One of the big things we do is every year at camp, all the kids sit down and write personal notes to the donors, thanking them for what they're doing. And that's a really big one too. Again, it's getting them involved, but too, the kids have gotten really good about telling the stories through these letters and telling our fundraisers how their lives have been changed. You know, specifically what's happened before they came to camp and then what's happened since. One of our greatest letters was from an older boy who came to camp, and he did not want to be there. He was very blatant about him not wanting to be there. By the end of the week, when he sat down to write his letter, he's like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I can't wait to come back next year. You know, my life has truly been changed, you know, and you know, that's advertising. You can't make up. I mean, it's so raw and so truthful. But again, it makes a huge impact and a huge difference that we couldn't do on our own.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And that's the thing, when you can hear it straight from the person whose life is being impacted. I mean, yeah, that tugs at the heartstrings. it's hard to
absolutely
anything like that away. That's where I'm always like, oh, that's so good. Especially if you have a children's charity or an organization that you have the ability for your constituents to be able to write those thank you cards. So that's awesome.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So as we wrap up here, tell us about your current need. And if someone's listening right now, you know, and wants to support your cause, how could they help you guys out?
Yeah. So the biggest thing, or biggest change, is last May, we got the great fortune of being able to purchase 118 acres. We're in Colorado, so on the backside of Pikes Peak, where this past year we were able to hold our first camp on our own property. And it was a little raw, you know, a little logistically challenging, but it still went off pretty well. And so over this next, you know, 2 years, we're in the process of trying to build a lodge and some cabins on there, so that we can have a full-fledged camp on our site for the kids, and then also have the ability to bring them out for retreats throughout the year. And so that's kind of where we're focused right now, is trying to build out our property so we have a full-fledged campsite for these young boys and girls to come to, and have our own camp that we can do what we want to with. And that's our biggest need right now, that if people want to help out in that area, they can go to knightsofheroes.org and they can click on our donate button, help out in that way.
Great. Well, and you're also an author, correct?
Yeah, I am.
Book that's out called The Raging Sloth, and you have part of your proceeds that are going to benefit your charity as well, correct?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to use my book as a way to kind of get the word out, let people know. I do talk about them in the book, just because it's a major part of my life, you know, and kind of, you know, guide people in the back of the book about how they can go out and donate, you know, to our organization and kind of learn more about what we are doing, and grow it from there. And I'm being pressed now to write a book for the camp. So I'll see where that goes.
That's great. That's awesome. So yeah, just share any parting guidance for our listeners. I know we've got a lot of new startups, and as a founder, you know, for your organization, I mean, starting from scratch and getting things off the ground, you know, any advice that you have for somebody who may be in that position right now?
Yeah. And like I said in the beginning, I mean, when we started off, we had no clue what we're doing, but we had a passion. And I think, you know, keep that passion in your heart, and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to miss the mark. But, you know, just keep taking it one step at a time and keep moving forward, and, you know, build a good team around you, that one, you can bounce ideas off, that, you know, they can hold you accountable, and they can help you keep your focus. You know, cause it's not all rainbows and unicorns, you know, it doesn't always go, the way you want it to. And there's always going to be curveballs thrown at you, but, you know, make sure you keep your mission in mind and just keep moving it one step at a time, you know, and know that you're going to make mistakes. It's fine. You know, you're still, you know, for most out there, you know, you're doing something that's changing people's lives, and you got to remember that. And regardless of how things get sidetracked, know that lives are being changed because of what you've done and what you've accomplished. And just remember that every step of the way and every step you take, and just keep moving the needle forward, and you're going to do some great things and do some amazing things.
That's awesome. That's so good. Yes. Thank you, Eric. I so appreciate your time. You're amazing. If people want to connect with you personally, can they do that through your website?
Yeah, so they can go to my website, ericpeaton.com, and you can get my information off of there. So,
great. Awesome. Thanks, Eric. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, thank you, Mary. I enjoyed it. So, bye. Bye.
What could your favorite charity do if money were not an object? Most nonprofit leaders say they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. What if you had a resource that showed you step by step how to raise the funds you need to fulfill your mission? Hi, I'm Mary Valone, author of Fundraising Freedom, and I've raised millions of dollars for charity, and I'd love to show you exactly how to do it and how to recruit the right team to back you. Fundraising Freedom, 7 Steps to Build and Sustain Your Next Campaign. Available now at maryvalone.com, amazon.com, and online at all major bookstores. Get your copy and give the gift of Fundraising Freedom to your favorite charity today.